very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, where we talk about all things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make me cover ice dance on live TV today.
For hours.
Welcome to the run through, or hours with Sarah, my best friend. You know what was funny? One of the guys in studio while we're like on a commercial break, he's like, "Ashley, do you want your cell phone?" And I made a joke that he didn't get, but I was like, no, it's fine. Like, all I do is talk to Sarah anyway, and she's in my ear. And I think he was just thinking that, like, I was just talking to you in my ear and didn't get it. But
okay,
here we are. Rhythm dance. Wow, I spent so much time talking about the 90s today.
Yeah.
To, like, the non-figure skating people. I mean, it's a really fun bit to people who haven't been following. I talked about Ricky Martin a lot today.
Yeah, maybe even up to five times.
It's so much Ricky Martin. And to have seen him last night at the Super Bowl.
Right.
Ricky Martin is getting more play in Milan and at the Super Bowl than he's gotten in years.
Well, that's true.
I don't know. He's been getting a lot of play in the rhythm dance all season.
But this is the play.
Yeah, this is it.
You're right. You're right.
This is the highlight of his career.
His dance career.
Yeah.
So rhythm dance, I think we should just get into this. The results of the rhythm dance, Laurence Fournier-Boudry and Guillaume Cizeron won the rhythm dance. Madison Chalk and Evan Bates got second by about 0.4 of a point. And then Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier are in third. I do feel really good about that third place spot. I feel really good about that.
I feel really good about it.
Ooh, that felt good. That
I'm
hit
trying to
so
find
good.
How far back are they? So it's 85.47 from the Brits.
Back. Piper and Paul are about 3.5 points back from Maddie and Evan. And then the Lila and Lewis of Great Britain are about
it's less than a point.
0.6 behind.
Yeah.
Piper and Paul. It's close.
Tight all around.
Yeah. Charlene Guignard and Marco Fabbri, home team, are in fifth. So doesn't seem like they're getting the possible home team bump
boost
that we
hoped.
Thought maybe they could get. I mean, they skated well and the crowd was really with them, but they're in
the
third.
The crowd sounded
which
loud for them.
Okay. I will say, so I started the event sitting in the booth, in the NBC booth up at the top of the arena. And then I had some friends who were watching the event, non-skaters. And so I had the privilege of, and if you can hear my voice, that it's a bit shot. I had the privilege
of explaining ice dance for a long time
Ashley was doing it on air and I was doing it in stands.
Yeah.
And I was
both
screaming.
Equally as important.
I was doing it in control rooms. We all
you
have
are.
Our audiences.
We do. And I am so tuckered out that I'm actually recording this from the very first time. Everybody, welcome to the run through for me for the very first time from a horizontal position in a bed.
Oh my God. Not, I've done it before. Sarah, you're the only person left. Remember, I was like deathly ill and recorded once.
Oh my God. Give Sarah a few more gold zones to get horizontal.
Yeah. I am feeling a bit tuckered out myself by the gold zone days. But thank God for Ashley, who hung out for 2 hours on my show.
I did.
Explaining ice
dance. Well, I wanted to hang out with you.
The people. Yeah. And it was fun because, you know, we are the host of all three of the different, like, men's hosts of Gold Zone are not as familiar with figure skating, so it's so easy for Ashley to add great stuff. And because Ashley and I know each other so well and talk about figure skating to each other all the time, I could very easily like give her a shorthand in her ear and she would know exactly what I meant. And then she would tell the story that I was talking about, for instance. Although she did out me.
Call you out. I knew you were going to complain about this. Well, because what you did was amazing. So, Sarah, when Christina and Anthony got on the ice, she pops in my ear and was like, I want to, let's like mention the dress and FedEx. And of course, at the time I was on with Scott Hansen, and he's like, well, what happened? And I didn't want to give it all away, but I'm like, there's actually a really fun story about all of this. And on air, I'm like, you know, Sarah has a FedEx connection and pulled some strings and got the package found and off to Milan. So basically, you deserve some credit, though. That's like actually a very cool story that of all the people in the world, you are solely responsible
know
for
someone at FedEx.
Both of her costumes.
Yeah, that you know someone at FedEx.
No one else knows people at FedEx. And that's, I knew. No. And when I saw Lisa McKinnon's post, I knew that I was the only one who knew someone at FedEx and I'd sprung to action. But I,
you saved the day.
To be clear, I did not tell you to tell that story because I wanted you to tell that part of it.
Oh, someone I know that. I was like, this is an awesome opportunity to embarrass
to
Sarah.
Out.
Stab
Sarah.
Me in the back, in the front, right in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Adam, in the audience, obviously, like, Laurence and Guillaume went very early. They went hours before the
hours,
final group.
Yes.
Hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you tell us about your impressions of Laurence and Guillaume's program, where it fit during the day, and then, like, talk us through, like, the final group, and what was the crowd reaction to some of the scoring and where people ended up?
I would love to tell you from my point of view in arena. So, as you mentioned, Laurence and Guillaume did perform in the second warm-up group, and it was hours before Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, the last performers of the rhythm dance, skated. Hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Laurence and Guillaume, at that point in the competition, they were just at doing a different sport. And it was great skating. It was a good program. But personally, when we were watching it, they looked tight. They looked reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked nervous. And I could just tell from looking at Guillaume's face that he was nervous, and I can just tell because as somebody who also would like put makeup on for a skating competition, and the more time you have to
he was beat for the gods.
Yes, and it was like I could absolutely tell that somebody was like, let me just look one more time and like put a little bit more on, and let me just look one more time
liner.
And put
it,
yes,
yeah. more bronzer.
Yes,
he's wearing more eyeliner than me.
He's like trying to cover the nerves with more paint.
Exactly. Yeah. And the twizzles got dangerously close to one another where, like, the legs were coming back in. And it just felt like, you know, maybe it's we hold them to, like, a higher standard. But, like, I could sense them throughout trying to figure out each other's, like, adrenaline push. That sometimes one was a little bit ahead of the other. It wasn't this like perfect synchronicity, but it was very good. And it was like a very well-performed thing, and they did it really well. They get this this giant score of a 90, which to the amazement of everyone around me, I'll remind you, I was watching with non-skaters. A 9, has that ever been done before? Yes, it's been done before.
Done
that's to
3
be
days
expected.
Ago. Sure, yeah.
Right. Why?
Well, yeah, and they were 91.
Chalk and Bates had been a 91,
Yeah.
And they said, why are they here? Why are they in this warm-up? So it was explaining the, like, the world ranking.
Yeah.
And then obviously getting into the nitty-gritty of, like, how they've partnered together. And it's like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And just you wait. We haven't even gotten to the sexual assault allegations yet.
No, I had started with those.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we were there. Yeah,
don't ever bury the lead there. Do you feel like, and Sarah, I'd love to hear for you too, like when you're explaining skating to people, it's kind of like there's no middle ground. Like it's top level and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I'm in the weeds.
It happens
like,
fast. There's not an,
it happens so wickedly fast.
Well, because I think what it is like you, if you try to give them the simple version, like you can give them the simple version.
But they're not going to have any information.
But as soon as they ask you why, there's no simple why. Everything is like this complex web of why. And so like today when Maddie and Evan went behind Laurence and Guillaume, I sort of like muttered almost to myself, you know, but I'm in a control room of people, but I'm like, oh, they're getting silver. And someone behind me in the control room who doesn't, most people in the control room don't know it as well as I do. He's like, they have no chance. I'm like, I don't think much. And he's like, well, why not? What do you mean? And I'm like, I didn't end up explaining it to him because we were on the air and I simply didn't have time to do what I would have had to, you know, at that point when it's a why. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you would have had to have gotten out your whiteboard.
Right.
Yes. PowerPoint 100%. Presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Prezi.
I am like interested. There were boos, right, in the crowd when Maddie and Evan went into second place.
So Laurence and Guillaume, they go hours before, but they're like this moment that happens. Everybody's like, wow, whatever.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yes. The event goes on and the 90s does tear up. People are loving it.
Yeah, okay. It's funny. Like, I know that people were probably like, wow, Ashley's really hyping up this 90s theme that they've been talking shit about on the run through this whole time.
I know, but for everyone else, it's like
a tweet
fun.
To that effect. And shout out to you who tweeted that. But I also, I think like for when you see it the first time, it's not the way it feels to us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I also think even for me, when you see it on Olympic ice, it feels different. It feels fun. It's like everybody's in on this together because there's more people watching. And like now I can share it with you. Like Adam, you're sharing it with non-skating people, you know, and like Ashley, by way of the viewers, you know, doing the same thing. And it feels a little more like it feels less like it's a group of like 100 of us who are watching Europeans in the middle of the night or whatever it is, watching 90s program after 90s program, and feels like big and different.
And Adam, so on our show, I want to know what you think. We had a poll going, and it was like, if you could skate to any piece of music from the 90s, which would you skate to? And so
you production had three
was
choices.
Like, give us some 90s songs. So I gave them three choices. I gave them Vogue, I gave them American Woman, and I gave them Wannabe.
Mm-hmm.
Rank them in order of popularity from the American public.
Yeah, what do you think won out from the audience watching Gold Zone? Because they voted
Okay, Vogue, Wannabe, and what was the third one?
American Woman.
American Woman.
I'm going to assume American Woman won out.
Okay, and then what?
Then Wannabe and then Vogue.
Okay, so
no,
Vogue was last. You're right about that. Wannabe... and then American Woman.
Wannabe runaway favorite.
By, I think, at one point when they brought the poll back up, it was 50%.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yeah.
When the women were watching the show.
Yeah.
And then American Woman like started to crawl up. But Vogue just like sat at like 20%. I was kind of shocked by that.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like Vogue is for a certain audience. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
so funny you say that because I think American Woman is for a certain audience.
It is. Like, all of them are for a certain audience.
Well, American Woman is for America.
And I think we've learned who our certain audience is, and they're into Spice Girls.
It's a bunch of teenage girls.
No, Ashley.
Well,
they're
a bunch of millennials.
I'm a teenage
they
girl.
They were teenage girls.
I was a teenage girl for sure.
Yeah, that's
So I want to take you back to the arena for a Please. Moment because I think it's pretty interesting to see who I felt the audience responded to the most in the venue. And there's a few names that I'll bring up. The first name I'd like to bring up are from Czechia, Tashlarova and Tashla.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Audience ate them up. I mean, they were awesome.
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh my God.
It just gets the people going.
It gets
siblings.
The people.
It just gets the people going.
Siblings and J Lo. A winning
Wait,
combination.
Two siblings skating
every
back to back, by the way.
Oh yeah, two siblings. And I'll tell you that, like, you know, I'm trying to give the lore of everything to my friends who are watching. And I'm like, there are gonna be two Czech siblings who go back to back. Now the thing is that the one of them is going to be skating to music that is AI, which they didn't like. They didn't like the idea of AI
that
music.
That is not popular.
No.
No. And I said, I know, you have to think about all the water that was used to make that music.
Right. AI slop.
Yeah, we could have created a whole other ice rink with all the water that was used to make that music.
Exactly. So that did, the people around me did did turn on the Mrazics because of the AI.
Oh no.
But I was trying to explain the, like, the music rights situation and all of that. It didn't, they had already turned.
Mm-hmm. It was done. Yeah.
What's done, is what Dai Wei Dai said at Skate America. And it
rang
true.
Oh my God. What a good callback.
What's done is done.
So the Tashlers, as I refer to them, they really struck a chord with the audience. They really, like, hung on to it. Wow. The next team, Diana Davis and Gleb Smolkin.
The pretty fly for a white guy kills. I feel like I saw people during the team event, I saw a lot of responses to them online.
Yeah, and I got to say that,
not
like,
from Tracy.
I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it because there's something so, like, charming and, like, funny about his serious face and this, like, campy song going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And it just was really enjoyable in the audience, but nobody was, like, kind of, they were no which way or the other about the score. They were just, like, happy about the music. This was, like, truly, like, a music thing.
But it's also, like, the first piece of music that you're going to hear in that entire event that's not just, like, a poppy song. So it's also, like, really attention-grabbing because now you're like, oh, okay, this is, like, a little grungy.
Yes. The next team, Yevgenia Lapreva and Jeffrey Brousseau.
Hell yeah. Blue Abadi Abadi will always hit.
Yep.
Agreed. They were fucking flying. They were incredibly good tonight. They were good tonight. And the comments around me were, she just dyed that hair for this. And I said, yeah, probably. It's the Olympics. Yeah. You think she'd come here with roots?
Yeah.
She's making, I know you've talked about, you've talked about Anastasia Metelkina in the pairs event making some of your new favorite TikToks. Yevgenia Lapreva is making some of my favorite TikToks of the Olympics. She's doing great things online.
The TikTok, I believe she made it, of, like, the pin trading, and she's acting like she's got the trench coat and she's, like, got serious glasses. She's so funny.
Yeah, I saw one where she was just dancing in all these different public places. At, like, around the Olympic Village and, like, wherever, and in front of a bunch of people, and kind of just jumping from place to place, and it was really fun and funny.
I was so close to calling them Children of the Void today on air, but then I was like, there's not enough time to explain that.
To explain the void.
Yeah. So I just settled with, like, favorite little weirdos.
Yeah, you did get a big response in the control room when you said that. Everybody laughed.
Oh, good. I mean, they are, though.
They are in, like, just the best way.
And they're too low in the standings. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. They're agreed. In eighth right now.
The next team that got a huge response was Emmy Zingis and Vadim Kolesnik.
Who are very, their score. I mean, they're in sixth place at the Olympics. That is incredible. They didn't go to the World Championships last year.
No.
They're doing great. It's crazy.
The
crazy.
Skating, they were, to my eye.
Untrained eye. Well, more
the,
trained.
The most conditioned out of everyone in this event, like from start to finish.
Which is amazing saying that because we always talk about Lila and Lewis being conditioned.
But
well,
it's
on air,
like,
they were talking about how they do quad run throughs.
Well, this just like the skating that they give and the attack that comes from the both of them, is so reminiscent of like Igor Spielbond skating teams from 2010. Like they skate with the same attack that Charlie White and Meryl Davis did, that Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer did. They are still like in the early stages of their career, but the like fucking attack that they have throughout the entire program, and this is like what eventually set apart the Davis and White and Virtue and Moyer teams, was that like people weren't as dynamic as them and they couldn't be. And
right,
and it this like just really resonated with the crowd, and the conditioning was so obvious, and it was like I just thought they were phenomenal. They were phenomenal, and it was so, it was just because we've seen the scores they've been getting, and because, like you mentioned, Sarah, they were not at the World Championships. It felt shocking, but it felt right. Like it felt right.
It doesn't feel like a stretch.
Right. I'm not saying it felt undeserved.
No. And I, you know, I didn't take it that way. It's just because it's like it's ice dance. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you feel like they put you within a range and you feel like that's just the range within which that skater will work within.
Yeah. Like they're stuck within these brackets and they're not going to move outside of it. And they've just been like step one, step two, step, like they've just been moving up, but at a pace faster than I feel like we normally see in dance, which that's, it's just the pace that they're being rewarded at that is like, oh, whoa. And in some ways, I think it's kind of refreshing because I'm like, no, I do feel like they're that good.
The skating is at a different style. It is of a different style than everyone else. It just is dynamic in a way that the other teams are not. And it was just the way they skated tonight was really impressive. The next team that everybody really responded to was Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier.
Oh, good. Well, they've seen glitter and gold.
Yeah,
they've
exactly.
They should. They That's should right. be responding to them.
This performance tonight just, it really kind of just tore up an eight, and the drama of Paul's like wrist cuff getting stuck in her knee and her really not missing a beat and grabbing it in her hand almost made the whole thing more dynamic and more exciting.
Yeah. You know, it was funny when I was on air, we were kind of like talking over this program, setting it up. And then Scott is like, another team that's just too sexy for their shirt. And then I'm like, RuPaul on the ice now. And I, because like both are true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think of that program as a I'm too sexy for my shirt program. I think of it as a RuPaul program.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's how it's like categorized in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, I told Scott that it was another I'm too sexy because I thought that he would like respond to that better than like RuPaul coming up, because we had just seen I'm Too Sexy and you guys had been
enjoying it. Gay bashing them.
No.
Right.
No.
No, he would not. He's like a genuine gentleman. He would never. But yeah.
The next team was Madison Chalk and Evan Bates. Gotta tell you, listen, I know that we have some listeners that are not like Chalk and Bates are not their favorite team.
Yeah, that's fine.
And whatever. But I gotta tell you, the way that they're skating at this Olympics is Olympic. They're skating up to the moment, and this really ate up in the audience and in the arena. Like it ate the fuck up. And I can tell you from being there, there was no like, oh, they're a lot slower or like whatever. Like they were hauling ass. The turns looked really effing clean. The lifts were incredibly impressive. Just the face, like they just were both really in it.
Yeah, you can see that.
And it just, it felt like, okay, well, there you go. That's the performance that's going to win tonight. And so, which is so interesting that like we were there for hours and that when this did not go into first, the whole arena booed.
Yeah. Well, and also I think when it's been that long since you've seen.
Well, right. You're like, what? The
French. You almost have no context for what happened. Yeah. Wait, Adam, I don't know if you've seen this. Sarah, you might have. I'm not entirely sure, but I was on USA right before they were going to skate. And they put on a piece about Evan and Maddie's moms, the famous lesbian couple of Evan and Maddie's mothers.
Yes. Of their individual mothers who are married to men. Yes.
Right, right. And so they're getting asked about what it's like to watch them. And Evan's mom is the funniest person accidentally.
Oh, yeah. She's Nancy like, Bates. 100%.
Nancy Bates. She goes, well, I just take a beta blocker and then I have a great time watching them. I knew that that's what she had done. Yeah. But like hearing her say it where she's like, oh, no. And then I'm just, you know, riding this event. Like,
it's smooth sailing.
So funny. And then we came right back to air and someone was asked. I was with someone on USA and they're asking me about it. And I was like, no, they really like that. Like she takes her beta blockers and then Maddie's mom is just hoping for the best. And I saw like online people are like, is that a HIPAA violation? I just thought it was so funny that she was like, yeah, I take beta blockers.
No, she's hilarious.
She's so funny.
I always joke with Evan that his mom reverse robs me. And what I mean by that is that whenever I'm around Nancy Bates, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I like, you know, like if you were to be robbed, you check your pockets and you're missing something. But when I'm around Nancy Bates, all of a sudden I'm like patting my pockets down and there's like five pieces of Bazooka Joe gum.
Tootsie Rolls.
And Tootsie Rolls, hard candies.
And then a beta blocker as well.
And a beta blocker to wash it all down.
Save it for later. Oh my God. So yeah, I'm sure she was on her beta blockers. There was a really cute clip of Maddie's mom singing. I would have been mortified if me singing to my kids' program under my breath like made it to a TV show, but it was really cute.
Well, Maddie's mom is a beta blocker.
Yes, she is a singer.
Actually, she did sound amazing.
Yeah. She's a singer. So on the topic of the actual scores, I think this was just very interesting. You know, Adam, you mentioned the tightness, like the visible tightness. I don't think you're the only one who noticed that for Fournier Boudry-Cizeron. Like the twizzles in particular were like, huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they deserved maybe fours for both of those and high GOE for both of those. And, you know, then you got to Maddie and Evan and they, you know, Maddie and Evan got over a 91 the other day and they had the exact, just so you know, like when they got the 91, they had the exact same technical score as they
Interesting.
Had today.
Oh, so, wow.
Right.
That is interesting.
So they lost it in GOE and in PCS, which feels like a really conscious choice.
Now,
by the judges,
I will say this.
They're a point more than a point worse 3 days later in execution and PCS. I don't know.
Like,
it's a little.
We sometimes think of skating earlier as a disadvantage because the judges are, there's a base mark of which they start at. Yes. And then they build upon that, right? Like that's just the way that it goes. And there's so many skaters in these events. And that's why we see like the biggest scores here. And then also there's the biggest stakes. So it's like if somebody has the performance of their life at the Olympics, yeah, you want to give them a 10.
Reward that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's almost like it was to the advantage of the French team that they were earlier, that the judges made sure that they were more gracious with the marks to make sure that the French team didn't get lost the mix. And I almost feel that like it was their advantage that they got this huge score and then the judges went right back to like judging basically like within the range of as the teams got higher up into the world ranking. And then Maddie and Evan almost got caught in the crossfire almost of like, this is the way that the competition has been going. And like, yes, they're going to be about 3 points ahead of like Piper and Paul. And then all of a sudden when it evens out, these are scores that are end up being less than what the French got hours before in an effort to just make sure that they weren't lost in the mix.
This is what I think is going to happen to Adelia Petrosian. This is like they overscore people that are good, that are really early, just to push them to where they belong, rightfully so, right? Like they're going to push them to make sure that they are staying competitive because they can't guarantee. I mean, they're helping guarantee that they're going to end up as like the one of the top teams in the mix. And then hours later, I think it is kind of hard to mindfully judge two top athletes. There's a reason why it's not just like spread out willy-nilly. You're keeping the top athletes close together so you can actually be comparing them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's and you know, it's like a little bit of like, that's the way that this system works. Because, listen, the judges are human. It's impossible. Maybe you're going to remember, like, oh, I gave Laurence and Guillaume, like, these different component marks and what I did with the GOE. And, you know, it just might end up being less than by the time you get into the rhythm of, like, you're comparing, like, the other teams.
Yeah,
right. And so, you know, to me, I felt like if Guillaume and Laurence had skated later, I believe that they would have ended up behind Maddie and Evan.
Right, because there would have been a direct comparison to the responsiveness of the audience, the maybe potential like tightness, like visibly, like all that stuff. Yeah, I think that's a good point, Adam. And I do just feel like, I mean, we've said all along that we thought Laurence and Guillaume would have the advantage in the free dance. And so now I really... You know, it makes me feel like if they don't make a mistake that they are going to win the gold medal. And that's just like a tough pill. I'm sure that Maddie and Evan are thinking, you know, somewhat the same. I'm sure they're in a better mindset than that. But you could tell
hopefully
that they
they're
were
not thinking
happy
at all. They were not happy.
They were not
happy. But you know what?
Maddie did that thing where you kind of like laugh at the scores. Like,
I saw
Remember when Emily, Brady, and Ian Somerville got those scores and Ian
at the Grand Prix?
Yes. Maddie did something kind of like that where you could tell she was like what I just said. She was like, oh, we got a point and a half worse in 3 days. Like, you could tell that she was like laughing at it because it was, there was no other response. Like, it was like the panic laughter.
I mean, it
is
a little bit incredulous.
I think it's, look, I think that Laurence and Guillaume are stronger skaters, and I don't think there's a lot of question about that. I think Maddie and Evan are far better performers. And, you know, it's a hard thing to watch, too, when someone has been winning world titles 3 years in a row to now have it be their moment and potentially, you know, slipping away from gold.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, I think that like Laurence and Guillaume, I would agree that they're both the strongest skaters in the event. But as a team, it was like very obvious that like Maddie and Evan have skated together for years. It was just like, there's that, it's almost like when like Guillaume and Gabby skated, that they could just like look at each other and like they just knew where the other one was.
It's totally different than that.
It's completely different.
Well, also knowing how the other person's going to deal with nerves.
Exactly. Like Olympic pressure.
Do I need to be giving more? Do I need to be giving less? Like, how can I match where they're at? There's so many things that they're figuring out, not for like the first time, but really at this level for the first time.
Well, this is like supposed to be the troubleshooting year, right? And it's the first year.
And they just don't have that.
And it just was too, like, the performance to me from Guillaume and Laurence was two really strong skaters skating together. And Gabby and, excuse me, not Gabby, but Madison and Evan, it really was like a team that was skating a strong performance. It was a team versus two individual incredible skaters, but two people, not as one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And I think, like, we've talked a million times on here that, like, we've talked about it with Lila and Lewis before of, like, ice dance isn't a skating skills competition. Mm-hmm. And so while I can acknowledge, objectively speaking, that the foundational skating is there for Laurence and Guillaume, I don't think that they necessarily should be in first right now. Mm-hmm. And Adam's probably right about the start order benefiting them. In a weird
and
way.
I'll tell you this, that like at the end of the day, I would not be shocked. Like I said, the judges are human. There's like no perfect way to do this. And I wouldn't be shocked if the lead that Guillaume and Laurence have in the free dance almost backfires on them.
That's an interesting point.
That well, like, and oh shit.
This is
if like, oh, we didn't mean for this to happen.
Yeah, like, oops.
Yeah. Well, and also, I do think, like, the audience response. I mean, Adam, you already saw the free dance for Maddie and Evan play really well in the team event there. And, like, Guillaume and Laurence's free dance is not for audiences in that way. You know what I mean? It's, it's amazing in its own way, but it's not going to elicit this big crowd response. And so that's, I think, what Maddie and Evan have going for them in the free dance is they need to like perform the daylights out of this program.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, like I said, I know that like not everybody is like the biggest Maddie and Evan fan, whatever. I'm here and I'm telling you what is happening and what the people are doing. And when Madison Chalk and Evan Bates got into the opening position and that skirt opened up, you could hear a pin drop. People gasped.
Yeah.
People died. It was, it won't be surprising to me where it's easy to look at this result and, you know, maybe my first reaction was, oh, it's over. Yeah. But when I'm looking at it now and I'm just having a little bit of a moment to sit with it and just sit with like what I just saw and where I just was, I can imagine that like the judges who were on that panel might think, okay, that is interesting how it evened out, but that's not what I felt, and that there might be more of like an idea in their mind where it's like, I really want to reward. It bothers me that I didn't get to reward that performance I saw 2 days ago, because I really want to reward this one now. And I, you know, we haven't seen Guillaume and Laurence skate a free dance here because they had no intention of doing the free dance and France did not qualify in the team event. So we haven't seen it here, but I imagine the response will be good. But the theatrics of this audience here, and you just have to like the audience is so evenly separated of like so many American people are here and so many Italian people are here, and the audience is responding so well to Madison and Evan here, like they're playing into the audience and the audience is so on board.
You're talking me there being a chance. Like I don't know. And I will say about bronze, like I am on Piper and Paul train. I'm on it. I'm on the train. This is about the result that we had in the rhythm dance at the Grand Prix final. And this is, so the free dance will tell us everything. I think it's a benefit that this, honestly, that the documentary came out and they talked about the meaning of the free dance ahead of this event.
It didn't hurt.
Yeah.
It did not hurt, but
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, just like in the arena, I'll say everybody really tore it up tonight. And yeah. And it was just like, it was so fun to watch it with people who were watching dance, if not for the first time, but like for the first time in a few years.
Yeah.
And it was
exciting.
It was great.
That's really exciting. All right. Well, before we, because we can't predict the future, I think we've got a lot of exciting things to come. We have what, men's short program tomorrow?
Men's short.
Yay.
Ilya doing quad axles on practice. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything for the short program. But just,
yeah, people I'm are really telling excited myself to see it's that. Quad axles coming in the free skate. That's how I feel.
Yeah, free skate. Yeah.
So
that'll be the excitement tomorrow to see how, I mean, redemption's at stake, right? He just got beat by 10 points in the short by Yuma. But that doesn't feel like it's going to be the case.
I'm cheering for another Yuma Kageyama short program win because
we would be so lucky.
Well, I think it's hard for anyone to, you know, if Ilya skates his best, we think he will win pretty easily. So it's so nice that maybe someone else gets a moment in the short program. Do you know what I mean?
Well, wait, I was trying to like find a stat to talk about on air just to kind of give context for Ilya. I was like, what's the most he's beaten someone by in competition? And Skate Canada 2025, I think it was 76 points.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to let someone have a short program. A
lot of people's short programs are worth less than 76 points.
I might have never done a short program worth 76 points.
I've definitely done a program. Yeah, I've definitely done a program less than 76. I would have needed a third segment.
Yeah.
One last free dance or one last rhythm dance thing. Nikolai Majorov of Sweden. They made the free dance. I used to compete against him, and I was texting Michelle Ellis, who is here and working with Terry Gannon and the whole crew. And I was like, he looks 18 years younger than he did when I competed. I was like,
he's
he looks
unrecognizable,
like a young boy.
He looks the same age as his partner, and he's not.
I mean, he did
good
an amazing
him.
Job.
That's what he was meant to be doing all along. It's nice to see. I'm happy that they're here.
And you're not thinking about his older brother, right? You're thinking about Nikolai.
Who's his older brother?
Alexander Majorov.
I am absolutely thinking about his older brother, who is exactly my age. Damn, these fucking siblings do this to me every fucking time. There's a younger one?
Yeah, and it's this one.
Nikolai is
We've been
the
covering
younger
him.
One. Yep.
How many Majorovs are there fucking
Just
out there?
Two.
My fucking God.
Yeah, there's two.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Fact check.
You're welcome.
I probably never competed against him, by the way.
Probably,
is 18. I'm like, he looks so young. He's like, he was born in the year 2007.
2000.
Damn
get
it.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, and that's a wrap. We'll see
and
you tomorrow.
And it's time for us to get out of here because I've almost fallen asleep once and I'm ready to fall to commit.
I'm not falling asleep because I'm riveted by Adam's tales from the arena. Thank you, Adam, for staying
I know,
up late
I love your
and
perspective.
Telling us everything. And we will see you all tomorrow for the men's short program.
Yes, we right. will. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao. Okay.